Good morning, everyone. Hope you guys are having a good day. I'm sitting outside. I thought I would try to do this live out here. It is so bright outside. I am just like, holy crap. Like, summer has arrived. Like, I'm not joking. So yesterday, I went out walking in the morning. I had on a buff, and I had on a jacket and a hoodie, and it was cold. And today, I'm sitting outside, sunglasses, sweat coming out my armpits. It's just, y'all, it's just the way Nashville is. Nashville is so funny. All right, good morning, everyone. We're going to do something new. I'm going to try doing some of these outside. If they end up jacking our recordings, we'll just go back to me being inside. But I kind of wanted to start informalizing our Saturday mornings just a little bit. And just hanging out some more. If you guys have any questions that you want me to answer in terms of you got weight loss questions, personal questions, anything going on, just let me know and I'll be glad to answer them. Just use hashtag ask and we'll get to it. Otherwise, I am just going to see if everybody is aware that the new self-sabotage class is out. So you have it in your pretty little hands. It has a workbook. You will, if you are currently going through No BS and it would overwhelm you to include the self-sabotage course, then please finish No BS first. If you're inside of No BS working on it and you're listening to Facebook Lives already like this one, if you already come to coaching calls and stuff, you for sure can layer in the self-sabotage course. I kept the videos short and sweet and they cover exactly what it is that I want you guys to understand and know about self-sabotage. So I can't wait to be hearing from you guys on it. How the program works is you just go to the website. All you have to do is push play on the videos. They are also inside of your private member podcast. We have a great workbook that goes along with them. The only worksheets that I gave you are the ones that are going to help you figure out why you're self-sabotaging, things to do, and what to do going forward. Because a big piece of self-sabotage is understanding and getting really aware of not only what it looks like. So I'm eating, I'm not planning, I'm not doing things, but it is the story that generates the action line. So like when you think about our model, you will, if you're self-sabotaging, it's only because you have a story around things that, like your weight loss, you have stories around your body, you have stories around your environment, you have all kinds of stories. Those on the unconscious level are the things that come out that you can see. And so if you are not, if you're struggling with following plans and you're struggling with overeats and stuff, it's always because you have some story that you just haven't decided just yet to identify. They're never scary. They're never that bad. They're usually just like, oh, well, no wonder. That's usually what happens is that I teach you through the course how to uncover all of that stuff. And you're like, oh, no wonder this is what's happening. And then we go through the process of figuring out, once you've uncovered stuff, what do you do next? How do you start the next stuff? I'm working on quitting smoking. Can you give me any advice on where to start? Stop. Like, that's like, I'm not an expert at not smoking, but I have had my brother, my uncle, my mother all quit smoking. My grandfather quit smoking. And at some point, they just had to decide to stop and not like not doing it until they finally figured out how to not want it all the time. Honestly, you're just going to have urges. If you will go through our urge, or like phase three of No BS and everywhere where it talks about, honestly, if you go through phase three of No BS where it talks about the urges and stuff, you just need to do that. I would do thought downloads. Like, I would definitely thought download on smoking. I would do one of the things I'm researching right now. I've got like all kinds of exciting news coming up, but I can't tell you about it today. Just know good things are getting ready to happen again, especially for members. Y'all are always getting the nice stuff. Let me just tell you, you always get the good stuff. But anyway, so I'm doing some research, and one of the things that it talks about is, you know, like if you want to quit smoking, you have to not only wake up each day, this is for all of you. So if we're going to quit smoking, if we're going to follow our plan today, if we're going to lose weight, whatever we're wanting to do, like I want to be a non-smoker, whatever. One of the key things is waking up each and every day and doing some type of visualization process. And I don't mean sitting there going, oh my God, I'm a non-smoker. Ah! No, it's not that kind of a process. It's where you get up in the mornings and you literally, you sit there, for give yourself 3 minutes. 1 minute is you visualizing yourself not a non-smoker. The next minute is you visualizing yourself fucking wanting to smoke. Like, because somebody pissed you off, because it's time, because you normally do it. You feel all the urges, all the things, and you not smoking. And you, whatever it is you're going to say to yourself. The third part, so we're visualizing ourselves succeeding. Like, you know, today I'm not a smoker. And then we're visualizing ourselves like being in the throes and wanting to smoke and not smoking. And then the third part is visualizing ourselves in the future as a non-smoker. Like, what is that person doing? So like if you're a smoker or you're an overeater or you're a drinker, you have to visualize yourself in the future being someone who can have a bad day and not eat, drink, or smoke. Like you have to like visualize like how does that version of me show up in my future? And that's really important. So I would just do the phase three of the no BS. A lot of you need to do visualization processes every day. This is good. This is getting included into some future content for you guys that's going to be supporting the self-sabotage course. Oh my God, y'all, I'm so thirsty today. I literally was so thirsty last night that I drank 1.5 of these through the night. I don't know what got into me, but I was thirsty. So it's just like for a lot of you really understanding that, you know, and visualization goes in with self-sabotage. Self-sabotage happens because you have a definition of yourself that's unsuccessful and that's hard and all this other stuff. And then that definition of you is the one that drives the show. And so you have to start rewiring your brain at every opportunity. And one way, just one way, is to wake up each day and kind of visualizing. Another way, which is what you're going to learn in the self-sabotage course, we're going to talk a lot about this month, is allowing yourself to be triggered to want to quit, to be triggered to overeat, allowing yourself to be triggered to be tempted and stuff. And what that simply means is a lot of you will say, planning makes me feel bad because I'm not following my plans. So I'm going to quit planning so I can quit feeling bad. And it's like, that's not the solve. The solve is to understand that when you're not planning, that you need to keep going and you need to figure out like, well, when I don't plan, why do I feel bad? What thoughts do I have? What thoughts can I change? What, you know, what can I do to keep triggering? Like I need to keep, like, I would much rather see you guys trigger failures over and over and over again than to quit so that you're not triggering failures anymore. The person who truly can't succeed is the person who is never filling out discovery worksheets and who's not doing any of that stuff. Like the person who's not planning, no, they're not going to succeed. The person who's making plans and not following them eventually will start following them because they're giving themselves the information they need to continue to figure out what it is they need to work on. The person who says, you know, I just feel like such a loser. You know, I'm just not following my plans and I notice I'm overeating. So I would like to not feel like a loser anymore. So rather than changing the relationship with myself and figuring out how to stay on my plans and stuff, I'll just quit planning. I'll quit that part. That all that does is allow you to keep the identity of a loser. That's it. It would be, I actually used this example the other day with someone. If you, let's say you're having a conversation with your child. And your child, let's say every afternoon your child just wears you out. Like they're just, like you just notice you feel like a terrible mom. Like they come home, they complain about school. You notice that they snap at their sister. They're doing these things. And you're just like, oh, I'm such a terrible mom. So on the fourth day, you set your kid down and you say, you know what? I'm going to have to quit you. You're going to need to go stay with grandma for about 3 months because I just feel like a bad mom when I'm around you. And I don't really want to feel like a bad mom anymore. So I think the solve is to give you away to your grandmother. And so I'll see you in 3 months and then we'll try again. And I'm just going to hope that everything will be different. And maybe you'll have your shit together. Maybe I'll have my shit together. Let's see what happens. We'll get all excited and start a new mother-child relationship. Y'all do that with dieting all the time. You would not quit your kid if your kid was acting like an asshat. You'd figure it out. Nobody sends their kid away and just be like, oh, well, you know, day four of me feeling like a bad mother, you're out of here. Bye. You wouldn't do that. You start working on the shit. You have to do the same thing with your plans and stuff, y'all. That's all you got to do. You just keep planning. And then you realize, okay, so the first step for me is figuring out while I'm doing this planning, while I'm doing this hunger scale thing, all these things that I keep saying make me feel bad. No, they don't make you feel bad. Your asshole thoughts and judgment about yourself in terms of doing it, that's what makes you feel bad. So get real fucking clear, first and foremost, on why you feel bad. That's on me. That is not on the plan. That's not on my kid. That's not on my hunger scale. That's not on my percentages and all that stuff. It's on me. It is the exact same for all of you who do well. Like, don't sit there and give away your success. Be like, well, you know, the reason why, like, I'm doing so well right now is COVID. God, I got all this extra time. It's the only reason why I'm doing well. It's got to be the COVID virus. No, it's not. It's not extra time. It's none of that stuff. You know what it is? You're making a decision to think something. Your circumstances, I stayed on plan. How do you want to think about that? This is what you don't want to think. That made it easier. That is an unintentional hosebag thought that a lot of you do. And it's not helpful. That doesn't make you stay on plan no more than that makes you break plan. You got to figure out, all right, if I'm staying on plan, why? It's because I'm thinking something and I need to know all the things that I think that drive me to the success because I need that shit and I need to take ownership of that part so that I can really understand that I am the driver of all of it. All right. Let's see what questions you guys have. Let me move this over here. Y'all, good luck to me being able to read. Seriously. Do you ever recommend typing TDLs? I know handwriting is better, but sometimes it feels like my thoughts are flying by faster than my hand can keep up, and I wonder if typing it would be more of. Okay, so this is such a good question, Nancy. Handwriting is always going to trump it, and you actually do want your thoughts coming in faster than your hand can write, because this is what it does. Makes your brain synthesize the thoughts that you need to know the most. That's why I have people take notes handwritten versus just typing. When we type, this is what we tend to do, especially for like watching a class. When you're typing, you typically type what someone just said. There is not a lot of synthesizing. There's a lot of just typing the shit that you're hearing. When you're having to write, because you can't write at the pace at which you think and you can't write at the pace of which someone speaks, your brain has to automatically start synthesizing material and making it make sense and stuff. That is your brain working on a whole nother level. So it is fine if you want to type it out to get it all out. But what I think happens is that like when you handwrite, there's such a powerful connection between the hand and the brain that you're giving yourself some extra, I just think you're giving yourself extra juice. Let's see. I have scale drama. I weighed myself last Friday and this Friday, and it was exactly the same. I decided I'm going to weigh myself again in another room, and it says up 3 pounds. Okay. Let me just ask you this. It stayed the same. Let me go to another room. Why? Just stop. Just notice that you're doing that and it stops. You're not up 3 pounds because you moved the scale. So then I move it again to the original place and it's up the same 3 pounds. So I sit and think about it. That's why my clothes are tight. Then I weigh myself again down the 3 pounds. No, like, what the fuck are you doing? You have a number. I don't care if it's up 5 pounds. You have a number. That's it. It's just telling you something. Here, you know, advice. Just keep the scale in the same place. Fuck yes. You know why? Because you know what I've not noticed here? Patricia's not listed one fucking thing about 2 weeks of not losing weight as to what she's going to do to lose weight. She's done a lot of acrobats and exercise, moving in deadlifts with her scale, moving it around her house. If that's your plan to lose weight, great. You're spending so much time trying to manipulate the scale number that you're spending zero time trying to manipulate your action line going forward. All that time you spent doing all of that, what if you just said, what are 3 things I'm going to do this week differently than last week? Like, where are my level ups? Is there any extra eating going on? When I look at my food, is it time to, like, if I'm eating sandwiches and pop chips every day, is it time to go to sandwiches and baby carrots a few days a week? Like, where are my level ups? Like, what are the easiest things I can do to kickstart some weight loss? That conversation's not happening. You're just doing deadlifts. And you're doing sucky ones at that, because no scale weighs that much. If you're going to deadlift, you should be deadlifting half your body weight anyway. Let me just get on my bodybuilding horse over here. I just want you to think about it. Oh, it's not helpful. And yeah, it's all kinds of scale drama. I agree with you. I would just ask myself, how useful is this? Does it matter? You know what matters? I got on the scale. It didn't move for 2 weeks. The fuck do I want to do about it? That's what I want to know. That's it. And then here's the other part. Let's say you moved the scale to the other room and it was down 3 pounds. What would you have thought? Probably, I don't know if that's right. Why would it be different in the other room? So it's serving no purpose. Let's say you would have gotten on the scale this week and you would have lost a pound. What would you have thought? I hope you would have thought, all right, what are we going to do this week to keep momentum going? What are we going to be doing this week? Here's the point. When you guys weigh, it gives you a number. Your next thought should be, what does success look like next? What's my next decision? Where are we going from here? Taking this information, let's get our game plan going forward. That can be any freaking number that pops up on the scale. Any number. Down, same, loss. This is telling me what to do for the next week. Now we just need to start getting into, all right, time to process next week. Based on what I ate and everything this week, what's coming with me? What am I changing? What am I doing? That's how you lose weight. Moving your scale around doesn't do that for you. Beating yourself up over what the scale says doesn't do that for you. And I just did a couple of videos on the scale. You need to watch them. Somebody find the stuff that I just recently did. It was in the last week or two. I think I did it during All In April or something. I talked about the scale some. Let's make sure you find that. Beatty. I think I know the answer is as easy as uncovering my own shit that I do not want to see, but I find myself not doing recovery worksheets. Suggestion to just do them. Self-sabotage is going to help me for sure. Yeah, I'm going to find the answers that I do not want to see. This is an important question, and this is in self-sabotage. Beatty, what do you think you're going to find? And don't say I don't know, because you know how we know that you have something you're afraid to find? Like, I want you to think, what is going to be scary? What is it that I think I'm actually going to find down in there? Write it out. Answer the question. Most of the time, we can't really come up with a good answer. Guys, discovery worksheets. I have never met someone who was like, oh my God, I did a discovery worksheet. And you know what? I figured out I hate my husband and I need a divorce. I figured out I don't really love my children. I'm giving them away. They're not that exciting. You know what most of you figure out? Oh my gosh. I'm overeating every night because I just keep telling myself I want it. Why do I want it? Because if I have to sit there without food, I'm going to be sitting around thinking about, like, this is terrible. It's going to feel gross and all this. Like, y'all find the most boring shit. Everybody finds the same stuff. I want to know the first. Y'all let me know the first person who does a discovery worksheet and said, you know, I did like several of your discovery worksheets and I filed for divorce. I figured out through the discovery worksheet, I don't want to be married to the motherfucker. That's not what happens. You find bullshit excuses. You find the conversation that you talk yourself into eating every single night. You find solutions to try new things. And guess what else you're going to find? Like, if you tell yourself every single night, I just want it, you have to find another statement that has to go on the backside of I just want it. Like, I just want it is what I always say when it's time to overeat. And I also have come prepared with my other side. But we're not eating because wanting it right now means I'm going to have to feel bad in the morning. Like, y'all are missing out on the back end conversations. And it's because you don't want to do your discovery worksheets or you just keep stating the news. Well, I don't know why my overeats didn't stop, Corinne. I know that my thought is I just want it. And I got a problem because every single night, same thought comes in. I'm like, well, what the fuck did you think was going to happen? You were going to stumble upon your thought and be like, problem solved. Never got to like sit around anymore and not eat. No, every single night now, you're going to have to think I just want it. And you're going to have a different plan and a different conversation as many times as it takes. I just want it can't be the conversation you only have. It's going to be, I just want it and I'm learning not to want it anymore. For as long as it takes. And I will think that for 3 years, if that's what it takes. It's probably going to take 3 years. The difference is right now, you just really want it. And the more you have this alternate conversation, the less you actually want it. Your brain, after a few weeks, starts really focusing in on the part where we're just not doing it. It starts getting the direction part. And it skips all of the part where it's so hard. I'm just curious, what's the background story on how you chose the name Fit and Fat? Oh, it's boring. So I used to go to a fitness camp called Fat Camp, PHAT. It was led by, this was back when I first started getting into my bodybuilding days. I just loved this lady. She was like, at the time, she had won the Arnold Classic more. I think she still has. She had more Arnold Classic titles than anybody else. She'd been Miss Figure Olympia, like, or I can't remember if she did figure or not. But anyway, she was just everything to me. She lifted weights and just, you know, all the things. So when I first got into weightlifting, I started going to her camps. And I mean, I was, y'all think you worship me sometimes? I worshiped her. I dressed like her. This was back in my, we always wore bedazzled headbands and like pink camo. Like we had outfits and I would go to these things and she would have this little pop-up shop where she would sell her headbands and t-shirts. I had every t-shirt. I had every bedazzled colored headband known to man. And I was rocking Fat Camp look. And so when I started my business, I just idol worshiped her. And I was like, Fit and Fat. And I even remember going to one of the camps and I brought my handkerchief. We always had these competitions where you decorated a handkerchief with you bedazzled them basically with jewels and stuff. And I had Fit and Fat on there and it was in a starburst. It was beautiful. And I was just so proud to show her, you know, like how much she had inspired me and stuff. I still follow her on Instagram. She's not in the fitness gig anymore. She does real estate now. But anyway, her name was Jen Hendershot. And that's how it came to be. So when I started PNP, I was trying to figure out like, you know, all things. But we've since changed the name to No BS. We're still, like, you hear us talk about PNP Tribe and here and stuff, but we've officially changed our name over to No BS because a few years ago when I really decided, like, all right, we're going into the coaching realm. Like, I used to, when I helped everybody lose weight, I put out meal plans, I put out exercise plans and kicked everybody's ass, but I coached, but not formally. Like, I was just like, seriously, well, I was the only one, and there was only 150 of us. I constantly was in there just like responding to everybody. I did email, did all the things. So I've always been working on the mental side. And about 5 years ago, I decided to go all in on the mental side and not put out workouts and not put out meal plans. That it really dawned on me that I didn't need to teach people how I had learned to eat over time. That what I really needed to teach people was how to get out of their own way and figure out, like I did when I lost my weight, what is the best way to lose it. And that is to find your unique relationship with food, which is what I did. So when I really went through and thought about, like, okay, I'm going to pull apart my weight loss journey and I'm going to put it into a program, what's that going to look like? Like, what is that going to be? And we've evolved it since. Like, it's become way more sophisticated. No version was bad, but I other day was looking at some of my old videos. I was like, God. Oh, I just taught all the things. And so anyway, we decided to call it No BS Weight Loss because I've always been bottom line, common sense. This is what we're doing. I'm not going to bullshit you on anything. Like, I'm just going to tell the truth and whatnot. And one of my clients actually said, I think, like, we were all talking about, like, what the name should be. And she just said, No BS. Like, you're just No BS. And I was like, oh, No BS Weight Loss Program. I love it. So that's how it all started. So now we're like, we're more officially No BS because I think that that really encompasses what I think about all of you guys. You know, fit and fat was like our roots. It's what fit and fat and PNP is what I started knowing that women wanted to feel better. Like, I knew that that's what they wanted. And the way that I had felt was I had felt like sexy for the first time in my life, fit for the first time in my life. And it really encompassed what my vision at the time was for women, was to just feel good and feel strong and, you know, feel like they could just do anything. So I've always hung on to that part. But as it's grown and evolved, what I realized was when I first started, I mistakenly attribute a lot of it to what I did and like that kind of stuff. And it took years of coaching women and, you know, becoming a life coach. Like, you know, I've been doing this now for almost, I guess, 12 years, 13 years now. It took a long time of like just working with people and thinking about everything to really understanding what this all is about. And it's a mindset. It's, you know, that mindset changed for me as I was losing weight. And I don't think until the last 5 years I really understood. I didn't understand the power of which, like, it took me a long time to figure out that I had to quit just teaching people what to do. I had to really teach them how to think like the person they want to be. And that I had learned on my own how to think like I wanted to be. And that that changed everything. And so that's kind of how it all started. So if a lot of you who are in here, you know, if you've been wondering why are we kind of announced it not too long ago, but just for everybody again, why are we now, you know, No BS Women and not PNP Tribe? It's just because I've just, like, come to the conclusion that I want to take a stand in the diet industry about how important it is to break free of old diet mentality. An old diet mentality says we're going to lose weight, then we're going to feel good about ourselves. Old diet mentality says, you know, we're going to diet and exercise our way to whatever it is, and somebody's going to tell us what to do. And, you know, it just is such bullshit. And we deserve better than that. And we deserve to really understand what the real solve and the real fix for all this is. And it's learning how to think like the person we want to be, rather than feeling trapped by the person we've always been. Nobody teaches us that we get the opportunity to redefine ourselves. Nobody is out there talking enough about how you get to change how you think about everything through practice and because you want to. We are really told over and over again that we, you know, well, we just grew up that way, or that's just your personality. There's even tests out there that will tell you what your personality is, as if that's just set in stone and stuff. And it's like, no, it's really not. Anything is possible for you. It just, like, you just need a path of figuring out how to do that. And you just need to understand what it takes to change all of it. And that's why, like, I wanted to do self-sabotage this month with you guys. It's because, like, when we talk about no bullshit, you have to let go of bullshit stories that you've been fed from society, your parents, maybe even people that around your life now, magazines, like old diets and all that stuff. Self-sabotage is just a collection of the stories of which you've collected all your life. And overcoming self-sabotage. And the nice thing is that for people who overeat, self-sabotage doesn't hide. It is not like you're, like, you don't know what the problem is. Your problem is laying right in front of you. It's so much easier than people who are sabotaging relationships and little things all the time because it's sneaky and pervasive. You know, ours isn't. We're either filling out a plan or we're not. We're either eating what's on the plan or we're not. We're either full or we're not. We're either hungry or we're not. Like, it's real easy to know when we're sabotaging. We don't have to guess. It's just sitting there. And that's good. And then the nice thing about all that is, honestly, when it comes to food, figuring out why we do it, it's fucking easy too. It's not complicated. So if the finding out, if knowing you're doing it and finding out why you do it are not complicated, the solve also becomes very uncomplicated. And that's what the whole program is about this month. So that you don't have to sit around being mystified and confused by all of it. I really want to do the self-sabotage course, my real estate courses, and learn how to help my daughter Basically, I want to be able to have more than one important thing on my list. How do I push through when I get overwhelmed? What's a quick way to push through? A plan. Make a plan. Carve out when you're going to be doing your real estate courses. That's when you do your real estate courses. Carve out the time that you're going to do the self-sabotage work. If you go to the course, it will tell you exactly how long each video is over the course of the month. You put on your calendar, this is the time I'll be doing this video. The worksheets take about 15 minutes. This is the time I'll be doing the worksheets. It's on my calendar. And if you want to attend the live call each week on Thursday, you put it on your calendar. If you don't, you schedule what time you're going to listen to the replay. That's it. That's the fastest way to get out of overwhelm. You know the fastest way to get out of overwhelm, guys? Put the fucking shit that you're sitting around thinking you don't have enough time to do on a fucking calendar and quit whining. That's the fastest way out of overwhelm. Y'all are like, I just don't want to feel overwhelmed anymore. So I want to sit around and think about being overwhelmed. I want to sit around and think about all the things I want to do. Stop sitting around and thinking about it. Sit down with a sheet of paper. List out phase one person. List out everything that they need to do for the day. They actually get out a calendar, plug some shit down on the paper. Then when it comes time, you do it. And you don't, like, you prepare yourself to not want to. You prepare yourself for whatever. Anything you're not doing, you ask yourself, why am I not doing it? And don't say it's because I'm overwhelmed, because you guess what? You're just choosing not to. That's not an overwhelm moment. That's I've decided to do it or not. And if I'm not doing it, why? Is it because I think it's going to be hard? Is it because I think it's a waste of my time? Is it because I want to do something else? Is it because if I do this, I'm afraid of what somebody else might think of me? Whatever it is, figure it out. And then get over that shit. Because you only have two options. Keep being afraid of what people think. Keep being afraid to do hard work. keep doing that part and sit around and do nothing, or put it, if you're putting it on your calendar, like, here's my thing with people with overwhelm. Like, if you want to do all this shit, then you commit to doing it. For all of you who get overwhelmed easy and stuff, stop committing and not doing. Because all you're doing is practicing how to break promises to yourself. You need to take your bar way lower. And you need to get into action way more than you need your perfect plan with all the shit you think you should be doing and not doing. Everything becomes a habit. You know what else becomes a habit? Stewing and not doing. So if you are someone who notoriously gets overwhelmed, thinking about all the things, you need to have a come to Jesus with thyself and say, you know what? We're not overwhelmed anymore. We're only actually going to commit to the actual things we will actually do. So we're not going to sit around and think we should be washing all the clothes, doing all the dishes, putting a broom up our butt, sweeping the floor on the way, doing arts and crafts with the kids all day long, plus homeschooling them, running my business from home. Like, no. You just tell yourself, here's the shit we're actually going to get done today. And the rest of it, we let it go because you know what we're doing today? We're getting really good at committing to this. And when I want to judge myself for the other stuff, I'll work through my judgment. I'm going to learn how to quit judging myself by not doing these things and not planning for them anymore. Rather than doing what I do all day long, we just put everything on the calendar, do about 25% to half of it anyway, but the rest of the time feel like ass while I'm not doing. If you're not going to do stuff, you might as well feel better about it. Oh, I'm thirsty. And I'm sitting in this hot ass sun. When I tell anyone I lost weight for some reason, I blow off that day. I eat like shit. I keep telling myself, do it, but I keep doing it. Don't do it. All right, you need to stop telling yourself, don't do it. You need to ask yourself, what do I tell myself to eat? What are the reasons why I tell myself to eat that day? Like, what are the things that I tell myself? Picture yourself telling someone you've lost weight, and then imagine when you are eating, what is the conversation you have? Take some guesses at to why you eat when you tell them those things. If you're blowing it off for the rest of the day, blowing it off is your action line. What are the thoughts and feelings getting you there in the circumstances? Told someone I've lost weight. That's all you need to figure out. I did the relationships weekend and I have been continuing to do the workbook and daily prompts. I'm working on coming up with a thought that brings the feeling of connection. Most of the thoughts I'm coming up with result in the feeling of love. Do you have any examples of thoughts I can try? I keep trying to tie it to actions, which isn't right. Like, when I feel connected, a lot of times for me, I feel connected. Love and connection often can feel very similar, so I wouldn't get too hosed up about it. But sometimes, like, when Chris is sitting around, like, well, I'll give you an example. So last night, me and Logan and Chris, we were sitting out here. We had dinner. And I was sitting back, and I was just sitting there thinking, we're really having family dinner. This is awesome. I felt very connected in that moment. And I think for me, like, sometimes feeling connected is just kind of, like, observing the situation and noticing that we're connecting. Like, it's noticing what we're doing. Because, like, I want you to think about this. There were thoughts and feelings that drove us to having dinner. Having dinner also was a circumstance. At that moment, we were having dinner. And then I had thoughts about that that led me to feeling connected. So, you know, sometimes, like, your actions, you might want to move them up to your C line, like, you know, y'all do something and then just see what thoughts you can have about them. But for me, very often in the moment when I'm feeling connected, it's because I'm kind of like watching the experience just a little in my head and noticing what we're doing and being proud of it. And like saying things like, you know, I'm so glad we're here and I'm really proud of, like, I'm really proud of myself for doing this. And then I feel connected to me and I feel connected to them. So that's usually what's going on. Speaking of this dinner, Let me tell y'all this, and then I'll get out of here. I'm supposed to be at Rachel Hollis's Live Rise conference. I got a reasons for being there. Just, it's part of this exciting news and stuff that's coming out soon. But anyway, we're sitting out here. We have a bird feeder right over here. Let me see if I can show you. So there's a bird feeder. And here's what happens. We live by a creek and we live by these woods. You can imagine that when the birds throw the food down, little critters like to come and have a ground buffet. Well, we have noticed I thought they were moles. No, it's mice. And so there's these mice that come up to the fence line, and I hate mice, like, with a passion. And Logan last night tells me, he's like, Mama, they serve a purpose. You got to love all animals and blah, blah, blah. And I said, I don't love them. And, Siri thinks I'm talking to her. I said, I don't love them, and they're trespassing. Those bitches ain't paying no taxes, and they ain't paying no rent, and they're just freeloading off the bird feed. And Logan's like, well, they have a right to be there. So he's like defending their rights to be there. And I said, I'm going to get us a big ass cat. It's going to be our yard cat. And it's going to like gain weight because it's going to have a buffet down there. And Logan's like, no. And I said, well, what other animals? Like, what are the natural animals back there that take care of mice? He's like, well, there's rat snakes and there's hawks. And like, he starts naming it off. And I said, all right, well, we got hawks. I said, Spoonie, go buy some rat snakes that we're going to let loose back there. I was just kind of teasing Logan because I always tell Logan, like, nobody in his life teases him. I'm the only person who does. And he has a hard time understanding teasing. So I've always felt like it was my job to relentlessly tease him like a sibling so that he can learn when somebody's like being silly and when they're not. So he said, you know what's funny? He said, there's lots of predators that love mice. He said, almost all the animals love to eat mice. He said, they're like nature's pop chips. Everybody loves them. And I fell out laughing. He was serious. And y'all know I love my pop chips. And I was like, I will never eat pop chips the same ever again. I was like, mice are nature's pop chips. Everybody loves them. So it was hilarious. I was laughing my butt off. We were both just like, I don't know. We just found it so funny. So with that, I'm going to get out of here. It's nice talking to you ladies this morning. Nice Saturday morning chat. We'll get this uploaded to the Private Member Podcast either today or we'll get it up on Monday. I know Amanda's off this weekend. But y'all have a good one. Keep working hard. Get on top of that self-sabotage course. We will be doing the first, I think it's worksheets 1 and 2 are this Thursday on my call at 5 p.m. Otherwise, I will see y'all tomorrow for noon coaching Central Time. So if you want to get coached, you can come and you can watch that. Otherwise, I will see y'all later. Bye, y'all.